This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, a great nation despite the fact that two of the most prominent candidates for President of the United States, and in fact they are judged to be, according to polls, the almost sure nominees of their respective parties. That would be President Trump for the Republican Party, where he has collected a huge war chest, and polling shows that he is by far ahead of any alternative like Ron DeSantis or Mike Pence. You try to figure out who would be another nominee for the Republican Party. It's worth doing. And on the Democratic side, there is, of course, President Biden, whose approval rating is extremely low. And getting lower. It's lower than anybody else measured in history at this stage in his term, except for Donald Trump. And then there are those of us who look at the idea of another Trump and Biden race as almost unimaginably grim and negative. And yes, it could even be worse if it was a Trump-Kamala Harris race. So where are we? We are in what Myra Adams, in a very provocative and entertaining column, calls the break glass in case of emergency election. And that appeared in The Hill. Myra Adams is a media producer and writer who served on the McCain ad council during the 2008 McCain campaign and on the 2004 Bush campaign creative team. Her writing credits include National Review and much more. This piece appeared in The Hill. Myra, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I might make one correction. The actual title was Michelle Obama, Democrats 2024 Break Glass in Case of Emergency Candidate.
Okay. So
that's kind of important.
Right, which is the idea. Now, what people will say to you initially, and first of all, have you seen any polling at all that does a trial heat where they offer Michelle Obama as a potential Democratic candidate for president?
You know, I happened to see something on YouTube that had her running against DeSantis. And she won. I mean, and I looked at the analysis they had, you know, electoral, you know, states, all the electoral votes state by state, and it made perfect sense to me. But yes, I'm sure there's some obscure polling somewhere, but the main thing, as we know, is she has said on countless occasions that she has no interest in running. So why did I write this piece? Well, you have to go back to the title, because her actual attraction is that she checks so many boxes that the Democrats would need for a successful candidate. And that's why, you know, she's the break glass in case of emergency. But that emergency would have to be also convincing her, and I believe that have to appeal to her patriotism and say, you're the only one that stands between us and Donald Trump. And maybe she'll, or maybe her husband, somebody will say, you got to do this. Your country needs you. So, of course, this is years, you know, from now. But actually, come to think of it, I mean, maybe some of these conversations are going to be happening, you know, really next year, or maybe at the end of this year. So
they may be part, and probably will be part of the ongoing campaign for 2022. I mean, it's going to be this year, especially with President Trump taking such an active approach. Let me ask you a subsidiary question to this, because what your column is based on and what you just said is based on is the idea that Trump is the likely alternative if she doesn't win. Do you really believe that it's a done deal that Trump is sure to win the Republican nomination?
No, I'm not sure that. Nobody could be sure that, because as we know in politics, anything can happen. You know, he may be totally tied up in lawsuits. He may have a health problem. Who knows? But this is what I can tell you that I think is interesting. I have a lot of friends that are Republicans. Of course, I was a Republican since 1975, but I got turned off by especially after January 6th. So I'm really, I kind of been tending away from the Republican Party. So I speak sort of as a recovering Republican, but I want to go back to my party. Because I love my party, and I miss it in many ways. But
We'd really like you to come back. If this is another Republican and somewhat tormented Republican, yes, we need you back, but go ahead.
But I'm not a Democrat either, so I'm politically homeless, actually, like I like to call myself. But the point is, all my Republican friends, all of them say the same thing. We voted for Trump. We would vote for Trump again, but we don't want to vote for Trump. We wish there was someone else, and the name they always say is Ron DeSantis. So I really think that if Trump dared to step down, which of course is a whole other discussion, I think DeSantis would be able to rise, you know, rather fast. You know, I look at him as, you know, Trump without the baggage. And he really has in some ways taken on the persona of Donald Trump. But, you know, he literally, nobody can do anything until Trump decides, you know, really what he's going to do. And he's going to milk this as long as he can, because he's making so much money that, of course, is going to pay his legal bills. So, you know, the amount of money he really gives candidates for all the money he raises all the time, you know, I'd like to see a report on that, and because I think you're going to find most of it goes to pay his legal bills. Can you imagine his legal bills?
Well, the legal bills are paid for by the Republican National Committee, a lot of them. That's one of the many, many, many lurking scandals there that are going on. And by the way, Trump has admitted that. The RNC has admitted that. And they're going
not
to continue.
All of them. Not all.
Not all
I mean,
of them.
There's some
no,
that are, not, but not all of them.
Correct. But one of the things that's interesting is you give Trump credit, in a sense, if that's the right word, for setting up a Michelle campaign, because that big challenge to her campaign is no political experience, no governmental experience, to which you point to the success of Donald Trump?
Absolutely. I mean, I always say that the new qualification standard for American presidents is if you are elected, you are qualified. So there you have it. I mean, if you're popular, you can bring a lot of crowds. You know, you can read a speech. You can raise money. You're good on TV. You know, people like you. You have a, you know, I guess a bumper sticker message. You don't have to know a lot about policy. You can kind of, you know, just fake your way through it. But, you know, we're in the, you know, the popularity game and the press game and the social media game and basically the old standard of, you know, you really need someone qualified. And these are the following qualifications. Of course, Biden, you could say, was, you know, qualified in the traditional
right.
sense. Yeah, and
yes, but with the say of serving for a whole era as a member of the U.S. Senate. But the other thing that's fascinating about this is that Trump had the qualification of reality star. And Michelle Obama has just written and marketed what is really the best-selling autobiography in American history. I believe she's up to about 15 million copies sold of her book, Beginning. Isn't that what it's called?
Yes, I believe. No, it's maybe it's Becoming.
Becoming, thank you. You're right. I appreciate it. But that obviously counts for something if you want to talk about qualifications, and certainly she has been around politics and involved in politics far more than Donald Trump was before he decided to go down that escalator. It's a fascinating concept. You make the point in your column, we'll post it at our website at michaelmedved.com, that one of the attractive things to Michelle about Democrats is that she scares Republicans so much. And by the way, I think you'd have to be blind not to be concerned as a Republican with a Michelle Obama candidacy. Myra Adams, thank you for your piece. Thank you for the conversation. We will be right back on the MedVet Show.
You are an outstanding role model and an inspiration to all of us.
Michael Medved, 1-800-955-1776. The Michael Medved Show. We'll be right back.
Washington Policy Center, WPC, is Washington State's champion for free market reforms and is nationally renowned for its effectiveness in an ideologically hostile state. It's led the effort against state and local income taxes. Its research and policy analysis are relied on by lawmakers, media, and citizen activists for accuracy, fresh perspective, and to expose the political manipulation of data. Our state needs WPC more than ever, and we need you to be part of it. Become a member today at WashingtonPolicy.org. Is our country's distinctive power and prosperity the product of some happy accidents or criminal activity, or is it God's hand on America? That's the title, actually, of my most recent book. You can get a hardcover copy, personally signed by me, together with a full audiobook, and it comes to you together with an MP3 player so you can hear it anytime you want. It's all at a reduced price while supplies last. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for God's Hand on America, look for that audiobook and hardcover book bundle.
Introducing the all-new My Slippers from MyPillow. 2 years in development. Designed to wear indoor, outdoor, all day long. Made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. And made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, you can get 50% off the new My Slippers. They're super comfortable, and you'll like them so much you'll want to get pairs of them for the entire family. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener's square and use promo code MEDVED. That's promo code MEDVED, M-E-D-V-E-D. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, like the Giza Dream bed sheets, the mattress topper, and towel sets. Call right now 1-800-320-6280. That's 1-800-320-6280 and use promo code MEDVED. Or go to the web at MyPillow.com. The all-new My Slippers from MyPillow.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name is Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
And coming up on the Michael Medved Show, we'll talk about a really fundamental mistake, and it's worse than a mistake, it's a distortion. It's a complete warping of not just our history, but of our reality today to classify people as either white or non-white. Because the idea that there is an absolutely common interest on the part of people who are Hispanic, Asian, black, just because they aren't white, just because they're together being anti-white, it's not the truth. We will be speaking about that with Ruben Navarrete coming up. But first up, there's a prejudice even older than that that actually had a loss of a hero who had made a name for himself fighting that prejudice. And I just found out, and it's sad, that he died of COVID-19, a guy named Mel Mermelstein, who was an Auschwitz survivor, who by calling the bluff of self-proclaimed World War II historical revisionists, they were Holocaust deniers, won a formal apology, $90,000, and a judge's affirmation that, yes, the Holocaust indisputably happened. Okay, what is the story here? And you may remember some of it. It was celebrated in a made-for-TV movie with Dabney Coleman playing the bad guy, a historical revisionist, so-called, which is a neo-Nazi, somebody who denied that there was ever such a thing as the Holocaust, and this guy, Mel Mermelstein, who lived through it. In the obituary in the New York Times, it says that Mel Mermelstein, who just died at age 95, was 17 in the spring of 1944 when his family was deported from his hometown, then a part of Hungary, to Auschwitz, the Nazi death camp in occupied Poland. His parents and two sisters died in the gas chamber there several months later, and his brother was killed, apparently trying to escape. After the war, Mermelstein immigrated to New York. He married and later settled in California, where he started a company that made wooden shipping pallets. He had kids, grandkids, great-grandkids. He published a memoir in 1979 called By Bread Alone, The Story of A4685, the title referring to his imprisoned number. That same year, the Institute of Historical Review, a newly formed group of Holocaust deniers organized by Willis Carto, who was a segregationist, a white supremacist, and founder of the far-right Liberty Lobby, made a very big, flashy public offer. They offered $50,000 reward to anyone who could prove categorically the Jews were mass murdered by the Nazis in gas chambers. When Mermelstein learned about the offer, he recounted his own experiences in letters to the Los Angeles Times and the Jerusalem Post. He lived in California, remember. Undeterred, the Institute of Historical Review, so-called, taunted him to accept its offer, even claiming that his parents and sister, who he said had died, were living under assumed names in Israel. Dad was incensed, his daughter told Smithsonian Magazine in 2018. So we went to a lot of established Jewish organizations, and they told him to leave it alone. It wasn't worth it. But he was adamant. Quote, I would not let them get away with it, he said. And part of it is when you read Mel Mermelstein's description of actually seeing his parents in the process of being killed when he was a teenager, and some of the horrors he withstood at Auschwitz, there is something noble about his willingness to take on this fight against these stupid, awful, racist, and crazy people. And they also published a newsletter called Spotlight. They had the American Free Press for a while. They're classic anti-Semites who said that, on the first part, Jews didn't really exist. They really had no connection, for instance, with the land of Israel. And secondly, they didn't exist, but Hitler basically didn't kill enough of them because he didn't kill any of them, at least according to their belief. He submitted Mermelstein, a notarized account of watching Nazi guards herding his mother and his sisters into a gas chamber. In his book, he recounted his last conversation with his father. your mother and sisters are, he paused a moment, unable to go on, and you must not torture your minds about their fate. Yes, yes, look, there. And he pointed to the flaming chimneys, the vision of mother, Atu and Magda being burned alive made me feel faint. He continued, my head began to spin. I wouldn't accept it. I wanted to run, but where? I started to rise, but Father had a restraining hand on me. And it'll happen to us, too, he added quietly. Then, more firmly, he said, but if we stay apart, at least one of us will live to tell. The Revisionist Institute, of course, refused to pay the reward, insisting that Mermelstein's sworn affidavit was insufficient proof. So he hired William John Cox, a public interest lawyer, and later sued in Los Angeles County Superior Court for breach of contract, anticipatory repudiation, libel, injurious denial of established fact, and intentional infliction of emotional distress. In any event, the trial was dramatic, and obviously, as much as anything can be a struggle between good and evil, I think this was. And in the movie version, Leonard Nimoy played Mel Mermelstein. And he was outspoken, he was fiery, and Cox invoked two legal issues. One was a technicality that entitled Mermelstein to sue for breach of contract because the back and forth with the Institute had been concluded through the mail. The other drew on English common law, quote, that which is known need not be proven. In a pretrial determination, Judge Thomas Johnson declared, this court does take judicial notice of the fact that Jews were gassed to death at Auschwitz during the summer of 1944. It is not reasonably subject to dispute, and it is capable of immediate and accurate determination by resort to sources of reasonably indisputable accuracy. It is simply a fact. He won his suit, and $50,000 and $40,000 more for expenses. But more to the point, he helped put the evil Willis Carto out of business. We will be right back with another operation that deserves to be out of business, the idea of teaching America hatred in schools. Ruben Navarrete and CRT coming up.
More of Michael Medved in a moment. Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA Radio News. Good afternoon, I'm James Gimmel. U.S. employers added 467,000 jobs in January, despite a wave of Omicron infections that kept many workers home. The Labor Department report today indicated the unemployment rate rose a tenth of a percentage point from 3.9% to 4%.
Our country is taking everything that COVID has to throw at us, and we've come back stronger. U.S. Senator Mitt Romney says shame falls on a Republican committee for passing a motion to censure GOP lawmakers Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger for their roles in investigating last year's attack on the U.S. Capitol. Romney tweeted that Cheney and Kinzinger were seeking truth at great personal cost. The U.S. House wants to make America more competitive with China when it comes to domestic supply chains. The Hill reports lawmakers passed legislation today addressing the global semiconductor chip shortage. This is USA Radio News.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
And on the Michael Medved Show, a pleasure and an honor always to welcome back my friend Ruben Navarrete, who is the most widely read Latino columnist in the United States of America. And he is, by the way, syndicated by the Washington Post Writers Group. He is the 16th most popular columnist in America, period, of any kind. And certainly one of the most original and independent. And Ruben, I wanted to share with you a reaction to a very important piece somebody else wrote, if you don't mind, which is it appeared in Reason magazine, and it's about a rather remarkable teacher who's black, African-American. She's from Jamaica originally. She was concerned about a pattern of F's that were turning up among her predominantly Mexican-American students. You know about the story.
I do. And, Michael, great to be back with you again. And this is such a great find. You know, people in our business, whether you're writing columns or hosting radio shows, you get bonus points for finding great stories. This is a great story. It's really important.
Yeah, it is. And because what she found out was they were kids who were doing okay in other classes. They were doing well. They were getting all F's in ethnic studies because
right.
they were teaching it with the curriculum of critical race theory that supposedly doesn't exist.
Right. A couple things came to mind. One was that old, you're a film aficionado, and the old Cheech and Chong movies where Cheech Marin would joke that you have Mexican-Americans who take high school Spanish and they get a B. You know? And so the fact that these Mexican kids were failing ethnic studies but doing pretty well in math, you know, was really striking. And the fact that it was a teacher from Jamaica, an African-American black teacher from Jamaica who heard the warning bells that something was going on here that needed to be explored just makes it an even better story. But I think what we learned from this is that the ethnic groups are not interchangeable. And even though it's tempting sometimes in American society and politics or education or media to think that, for instance, the elevation of an African-American to, say, the Supreme Court will somehow uplift Latinos by, you know, extension or osmosis, is just not true. It's not logical. And so, yeah, these Mexican kids in Salinas, California, an area I know well up in farm country where, near where I grew up, did not understand critical race theory. It wasn't speaking to their experience at all.
Yeah, here's what she says, and the teacher's name is Fontania. She says the teacher had the kids all learn about the four eyes of oppression. The four eyes of oppression were institutional, internalized, ideological, and interpersonal oppression. And then there was a whole presentation on critical race theory, and they actually had the students analyze the school through critical race theory. And the real question here, and it doesn't go just to Latino students, it goes to black students or white students as well. What is supposed to be gained by this understanding? That's one of the questions that I can't even begin to conceive an answer.
When I've talked to professors of law school professors about critical race theory in the law school setting, which, as you know, is where it initially began, is way back in the 1970s, as early as in the 1970s, you have a sense that what they're trying to do is teach racism and the history of racism in the country as systemic, where it is systemic, and not necessarily isolated incidents. It's, for instance, if you teach police violence in the South, there were these police officers who were cops by day and Klansmen by night. You can say, well, that was just an isolated incident. That was just that one guy. Or you can say, actually, this was much more prevalent from, you know, state to state. It happened. So that's their goal. But ultimately, when it comes down to the high school level, it's lost something in the translation. And I agree with you that it becomes very problematic, and this is another example of that.
Well, again, it's one of those things where part of what it seems to suggest is that there is a common racial experience called non-white. And anybody who knows Asian people or Latino people or black people, understand these are very different backgrounds. They're not identical and they're not interchangeable.
It is true. And there is also a lot of cross current, right? I mean, you can be Jewish and see a lot of similarities with Italian and Irish and Latino. And certainly that's true. I see a lot of kinship between Asians and Latinos. But I think it needs to be natural. It can't be forced by government. And you're right. There is no such thing as a common bond in being non-white. That's ridiculous, right? And it's racist when you think about it. So I definitely get why these students didn't connect to the subject matter. I also don't think that it's healthy to teach them that the world is stacked against them. You know, seeing this from the point of view of the student, I want them to be empowered. I want them to think that they can accomplish anything. I don't want them to be taught limits. Sure, there are going to be people who try to hold them back. They're going to encounter racism, but they shouldn't dwell on that and use that as an excuse not to succeed.
Well, amen, and this is one of the reasons the state of California has now mandated that every high school graduate is going to have to take ethnic studies. And what this story brings out is that ethnic studies often means critical race theory. Why will none of the political voices, because the largest ethnic group in California today is Latinos. And why should they foist this on a group that is very close to becoming a majority of the California population?
It's a very good point. Latinos are almost 40% of the state of California in population, 39% and change. The African-American population in the state of California is now only 6%. So it gives you a sense of the dynamic there. And yet you have this perception somehow that you have a non-white agenda, a non-white common experience all linked together, and it just doesn't hold up very long. Very far. I'd like to see the educators in Sacramento pass things like higher standards, higher expectations, be less devoted to teachers' unions, be more willing to open the schools, you know, I'd like for them to think of the interests of Latino students first and foremost, instead of mostly white Democratic supporting teachers unions. That, to my mind, would be educational progress, not ethnic studies.
Well, amen. Wasn't it surprising that there wasn't more Latino opposition in California when they imposed this? Supposedly it's going to have to start not just in this one Salinas high school that we're talking about. It's supposed to start everywhere, in every high school in California, by 2030, I think it is.
Yes. You'll see more of these stories. This very story that you found in Reason, you'll see this replicated again and again in other majority Latino districts throughout the state of California and in Central California. It'll be just, you know, it'll be a recurring theme that the educators and the folks in Sacramento in California are speaking one language, and the mostly Latino student body in California is speaking a different language, and we're not talking about Spanish.
Right. No, we're talking about one of the languages that she was opposed to, this teacher, the Jamaican-American teacher, was the use of words like heteronormative intergenerational trauma, some of the jargon, some of the separate language that is used in this CRT curriculum material that she talks about. What about the idea of CRT making the ultimate choice for school choice, the ultimate case for school choice? Support for school choice? Well, we will get
Latinos
to that.
Always,
go ahead.
Oh, Latinos have always been in favor of school choice. Watch those numbers. They're going to continue to grow.
And let's hope so. And may your column continue to grow. Always outstanding. Ruben Navarrete. When we come back, a shocking declaration by Vice President Pence coming up.
The Michael Medved Show, all across America.
It's an honor to talk to you because I think you got the best talk show in the United States.
Thank you. I agree.
This is The Michael Medved Show.
The pain was very bad, and since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and I was having a hard time walking, and the pain was very bad. And since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and the pain has gone away. I really am walking pain-free. So I just want to recommend this to anyone who has severe pain or any type of pain. It is really a miracle product.
Try Relief Factor. It has worked wonderfully for literally hundreds of thousands, and certainly for me. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start. Nothing to lose but your pain, the whole world to gain. MichaelMedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, or call 833-654-PAIN, Relief Factor. Don't you get tired of commercials screaming at you to buy gold right now with inflated promises on future values? In an unregulated industry, you need honest, real experts to give you solid advice to protect your wealth and give you top picks, too, on the best coins and bullion based on real-time data and historical trends. For example, as environmental policy becomes a hot topic, one precious metal that's been significantly undervalued for years is potentially set to surge. Nick Rovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, has long recommended this precious metal. Up to 600,000 ounces of this rare metal will be needed by 2030 to produce green hydrogen. Nick is doubling down on this pick, and you should, too. Call Nick to find out more. Now, I've been friends with Nick for several years, and he's my go-to guy when it comes to coins and bullion. I trust him. You can, too. Call Nick at 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-VITAL-90. 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The Internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio. 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
On the Michael Medved Show, something just came down during the show, and it's wonderful. And when I say it's wonderful, I've got to give great congratulations to the Honorable Mike Pence, who actually, I think, very compellingly seemed to take to heart advice that was given by Henry Olson, conservative columnist, who was writing in the Washington Post, who had he's a senior fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center. And one of the things that Olson was saying is that it's honestly very important for Mike Pence, for his own place in history, for his own standing with the Republican Party and with the United States of America, to make a very clear statement rebutting the ridiculous idea that a vice president, whether that vice president's name is Mike Pence or Kamala Harris or Dick Cheney, for that matter, for any vice president, to claim that there is such a thing as a vice presidential power to overturn an election, which is something that President Trump has very directly, explicitly, and in writing, not just something he said, it's a statement he wrote, that claimed that Mike Pence could have overturned the election if he wanted to. Mike Pence responded to that. And he responded, I think, brilliantly, effectively, and with a kind of tone and substance that kind of can rekindle your faith in government and our political leaders. He was speaking at an event at the Federalist. Listen to Vice President Pence.
January 6th was a dark day in the history of the United States Capitol. Lives were lost, and many were injured. But thanks to the courageous action of the Capitol Police and federal law enforcement, the violence was quelled, the Capitol was secured, and we reconvened the Congress that very same day to finish our work under the Constitution of the United States and the laws of this country. Under Article 2, Section 1, elections are conducted at the state level, not by the Congress. The only role Congress has with respect to the Electoral College is to open and count votes submitted and certified by the states. No more, no less. Actually, our founders were deeply suspicious of consolidated power in our nation's capital. were rightly concerned with foreign interference in our presidential elections if they were decided in our new capital. That's why the Constitutional Convention settled on state-based elections. And that's also why the United States Senate was right to reject the Democrats' latest effort to nationalize our elections just 2 weeks ago. But there are those in our party who believe that, as the presiding officer over the joint session of Congress, that I possess unilateral authority to reject Electoral College votes. And I heard this week that President Trump said I had the right to overturn the election. But President Trump is wrong. I had no right to overturn the election. The presidency belongs to the American people and the American people alone. And frankly, there is no idea more un-American than the notion that any one person could choose the American president. Under the Constitution, I had no right to change the outcome of our election.
Okay, by the way, this is so correct and so necessary. And what concerns me a little bit is that people didn't applaud this. Because it's the truth, and the truth is bracing, and it's important. And there's this also, and it's going on today, a panel for the Republican National Committee unanimously advanced a resolution to censure Representative Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger, Adam Kinzinger, a congressman from Illinois, who is leaving the House of Representatives after he finishes this term. The measure will now go before all 168 Republican National Committee members at a general session today. It may be going on right now. Called for the RNC to support efforts to expel the two lawmakers from the party. But it was later watered down to a resolution of censure. How do you expel someone from the Republican Party, for goodness sake? Senator Bill Cassidy, a Republican of Louisiana, criticized the decision. Thank you. Republican leaders also signed a letter that would allow the party to fund Cheney's primary challenger. The RNC does not normally chime in and take sides on primaries. Liz Cheney has responded. She responded on Twitter. And there are two very, very important tweets from her. She writes, "The leaders of the Republican Party have made themselves willing hostages to a man who admits he tried to overturn a presidential election and suggests he would pardon January 6th defendants, some of whom have been charged with seditious conspiracy." Then she adds, "I am a constitutional conservative," says Liz Cheney, and so she is, "and I do not recognize those in my party who have abandoned the Constitution to embrace Donald Trump. History will be their judge. I will never stop fighting for our constitutional republic, no matter what." And that idea, when you come to where we are right now with the most recent statements by President Trump about pardoning people, presumably including people who've already pleaded guilty. There are 165 people who have already pleaded guilty or made a plea bargain to plead guilty together with the prosecutors. And this is not the committee on which Liz Cheney serves. But given the notion that he argues that under current law, the vice president can single-handedly or single-personally overturn an election, and that he uses so freely the idea that what he was trying to do was to overturn the election, not to get a recount. There were literally dozens of recounts in a whole range of states, including states that were not at all close. The recounts happened. The election happened. And the idea that we now have feature films coming out to try to relitigate the election of 2020. The Republicans are doing so well in so many ways, and thank God for the leadership of people like Mitch McConnell. But they're trying to focus on issues that matter to the American people, to the issue of inflation, to the issue of the economy, to the issues of national security, and basically to go back and make an issue of the election of 2020 and to claim that you won in 2020, now in 2022, that's the way to lose the election of 2022, to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. I mean, that's what's going on here. And it's crazy. And the idea that you want to expel people from the Republican Party rather than attracting people to the Republican Party. And I think a little bit of what Myra Adams said, who was on our show, I had no idea. I didn't know her background, frankly. I knew she was involved to some extent in the McCain campaign. And look, when somebody says, I want to be a Republican again, I think there are literally millions of Americans who would like to be Republicans, but real Republicans, not talking about civil war, not talking about overturning elections, not talking about conspiracy theories or QAnon or any of that nonsense. Marjorie Taylor Greene is now saying she may run for president. Good luck to her. I mean, honest to goodness, the Republican Party is important to this country. Even if you're not a Republican out there, even if you've left the party, a conservative, responsible, constitutional voice is crucial to this electorate, is crucial to this country, is crucial to our future and to our maintenance and sustenance and nourishment of this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Have you heard about vine-to-bar chocolate? It's the winemaker's chocolate, the world's first chocolate made with well-vined Chardonnay marc from the beautiful coastal vineyards of North America. Gently pressed grapes are harvested after juicing, dried and finely milled and carefully blended into the finest dark chocolate. The Chardonnay marc contains highly beneficial grape nutrients, flavanols, and has a natural sweetness that flavors the luscious dark chocolate. Mouthwatering, flavorful, delectable dark chocolate goodness with Chardonnay sweetness and beneficial nutrients. And it's alcohol free too. It's Vine to Bar Chocolate. Order some today at vinetobar.com. That's VINETOBAR.com. Cold shipped to your door, it's Vine to Bar. Vine to Bar Chocolate. Visit us at vinetobar.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.